Cofield Bible. It'll be the last verse on that right-hand bottom corner there. Luke chapter number 17, verse number 11. If you will, stand and you find your place. Turn there with us today. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God today. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed to be in the house of God today? Aren't we blessed to be in the house of God today? Could be somewhere else today. Could be somewhere we don't want to be. Jesus told Peter there'd be a day when he got older that he'd be led where he didn't want to go. Amen. And so there could be the possibility of that. I thank God for letting us be here today in liberty and the strength to be here and have the mind to understand and comprehend some of what thus saith the Lord. Very thankful for that today. If you will, look at it with me. Very familiar scripture. Verse 11 says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I want to preach tonight, this morning, on only 10% are thankful. Only 10% are thankful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. I'm going to ask Brother Bill this morning to lead us in prayer. Please pray for me, Brother Bill. Amen. You be seated. Very familiar scripture about the 10 lepers. I guess it's been read and preached on many times. I've preached on it myself at times. And very familiar scripture. But as we begin to read this thing, I actually woke up the other morning about thinking about leprosy and how the nature of leprosy was and how that God had the ability to heal many lepers in the Bible healed. Not many in Israel were healed because of unbelief. He actually many times healed more on the Gentile side than the Jew side from leprosy. In fact, most of the time when you see it mentioned, you'll find out it was Gentiles being changed instead of the Jewish community being changed. And so, you study this scripture, it doesn't take a lot of math or a lot of calculation to find out that only 10% of the people that receive the blessing return and give God thanks. And as we begin to study this passage, and by the way, this passage is an economy passage. In other words, if you looked at it, you can apply this passage to the whole world. The reason you can do that is the number 10 in the Bible is the number of completeness. And so it's a picture of all of mankind. Really, if you look at this passage, you'll find out that this represents all of mankind and how mankind responds and how God responds to mankind. And so in this, you really have a big grouping, I don't want to use a big word, you just have a big oversight of how this world is and how God is. Now look at it with me at this passage. We look at verse number 11 and we find out the route or the route that God chose. The Bible says in verse 11, "It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now his ultimate goal was to go to Jerusalem. In fact, he went there many times, but his ultimate goal was to go to Jerusalem because in Jerusalem is where he was going to pay the price for our sins. The Bible says this fateful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am chief. In other words, his main purpose was to get back to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is where the crucifixion was to take place, just outside the gates there. That is his ultimate goal. But on his ultimate goal to get back to Jerusalem, the Bible says, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, when you look at that, we find out that he had to take an alternate road than one what was normally taken by the Jews. Now, he took the shortest route. The shortest route was to go through Galilee and through Samaria, down through the border of that, on the way to back to Jerusalem. But most Jews chose to go around about and go around that place so they wouldn't be involved. In fact, he says it again in John chapter 4, verse 4. He says, and he must needs go through Samaria. And so he took the westly route, took the west route, and went back through that those two cities on the way to Jerusalem. But he must needs go through Samaria. And boy, I tell you, the woman at the well was sure glad that he needed to come through Samaria. Amen. And so he took an alternate road, and he took had an ultimate goal, but he took an alternate road to go through there at Samaria and Galilee. Notice this. The Bible says, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. In other words, it was a determinate counsel. The Bible talks about the counsel of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It says, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Here, let me say this. God never does anything by accident. And he never does anything on a whim. And he never does anything just because he's got nothing else better to do that day. When Jesus decided to go through Samaria and Galilee, he chose, it was the determinate counsel of God to go in that direction. Amen. And so we see him choosing a very determined route how he is going to go to Jerusalem. And not only was it ultimate goal, an alternate road, and a determinate direction, but we find out it was an anticipated direction. We find out the arrival. Look at verse number 2. And as he entered into a certain village, notice what it says, there met him. There met him. In other words, they were certain, but it convened. They began to convene there where he was going to be. The Bible says they met him. They decided, they heard, they must have heard that Jesus was coming to town, and they met him there in that certain village. He was heading in a certain way, and they met him there. Now, notice what it says. It says, and there met him 10 men. There's the count, the number for completeness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And so he uses that picture there, the woman with the 10 coins. And she knows that if she loses that one, that she does not have a complete set. The numerator of 10 times 10 is 100. You'll find out that the man that had the 99 sheep was not a complete flock until he found the one and made it complete 100. And so the number 10 in the Bible is a number of completeness. And we have these 10, these counted 10, coming to him as a complete picture of those that have not God and have not the blessings of God. They've got a problem in their life. What is that problem? The Bible said their condition was that were lepers. That were lepers. And we know the sin of leprosy is typical of the sin, the disease of leprosy is typical of the sin nature in our bodies. It consumes, it devours, it makes us unfit, it makes us unholy, it makes us unability to do things and to go places. Notice what it says. It says that we're lepers which stood afar off. They stood afar off. They went to meet Jesus, but they still had to stand afar off. Why? Because of their sin nature, what they had in them and upon them made them unfit to be in his presence. And even though they were going to meet him and they met in a certain place, they were still standing away far off. Now, what did they have to do? A leper had to have that, had the covering over their lip, had the covering over their face, and they went around calling unclean, unclean, unclean. And so they, even when they come into the city, they would have had to do the same thing. Notice this, even though they went to meet Jesus, they were still too far off. You get that? They were still away far off, even at meeting him. And so we find the route. The Bible says that we were the same way in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The Bible says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so we are the same state before we get saved. We don't know Christ. And the best that we can do is stand afar off and know what we need, but still can't get to that point of help. So we see the route that was taken. Look at verse number 13 and verse 14. Keep your Bibles open. Keep your minds aware. Notice what it says in verse 13. And the Bible says that they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They cried unto the Lord. And they said they lifted up their voices. They must have heard that he could do things, that he could heal, that he could change people's life. And they begin to cry unto the Lord. Amen. And notice what it says in verse 14. And when he saw them, notice this, their cry made him to consider them. Amen. He considered them. Notice what it says. And he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, we see that they continued to do what he told them to do. They got up and they did what he told them to do. And then notice what it says, they were cleansed. And so we find four attributes in their life. They cried, they were considered, they continued doing what he said, and they were cleansed. Now, I will say this today. There is no doubt that there was faith involved in these 10 people. There was faith to cry. If you didn't believe there's a reason to cry, you wouldn't have cried. Amen? I'll give them that. They, without a doubt, will have to say they had faith to cry. Number two, their faith was good enough to be considered of God. God looked at what they cried. Number three, they continued. In other words, they had to get up and they had to go. And the Bible says they were not cleansed till they began to go. And so they had enough faith to continue to do what God had told them to do. Amen. And fourthly, they were cleansed, and their faith, because of the activity, because of what they cried, because they were considered, because they continued, they were cured. You say, preacher, I got that. So we see here the request was by faith. Their request was by faith. By faith they called. By faith they were considered. By faith they continued. By faith they were cured. Amen. Look at verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Now I'm going to ask you this. Do you think out of those 10, he's the only one noticed that he was whole? These men were lepers. You telling me that somebody who had lived their life outside the camp, that had the stench of leprosy, and the putridness of leprosy, and the awkwardness of leprosy, and the look of leprosy, that when they were whole, they did not recognize that they were made whole? No, I believe every one of them did. I believe there's just something special about this man. The Bible says, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. He was healed, but he changed his heading. The Bible says he turned back. He began to turn towards Christ. Preacher, I know all about this. Just stay with me for a minute. The Bible says he changed his heading and headed back to Christ. Thirdly, the Bible says, and with a loud voice glorified God. Notice his hallelujah. He was unashamed of what who he was glorifying. He was glorifying the great God of heaven. The Bible says, and with a loud voice, glorified God. He was excited about the change in his life. Amen. Would you say that? Would you say that this man was happy to be healed? Would you say that this man, for the first time in his life, knew that something was different and that God needed to get the glory for it? Would you agree with me on that? Need notice what it says. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now I'm going to ask a real deep, deep doctrinal question. Whose feet did he fall down at? Jesus' feet. Do you know what this man was? He was unashamed. And number two, he was unconfused. Amen. When he began to give God the glory, it didn't take him too long to recognize who the Son was. Amen. And he got unashamed and fell down at the feet of Jesus. Fell his face before the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says, giving him what? Thanks. Now there's a difference. The Bible says over Naaman, you remember when Naaman got healed in the Old Testament? Naaman got healed and went down, washed himself in Jordan River, dipped himself 7 times. And come out there in his flesh like a baby's skin, amen, brand new and fresh. The Bible says that he said, and he returned in 2 Kings 5:15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all the company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Now the Bible says that when Naaman got healed, that he come up out of that Jordan River, and he ran down and found the man of God, and when he found the man of God, the Bible says that he stood before him, and he says, I know that there's a God, and the only God there is one of Israel, and now I want to tell you something, I want you to take a blessing from me. But he did not bow down at his feet to worship him.
Amen.
But this man of the ten knew why he was bowing down. He was not before a great man. He was not before a great preacher. He was not before a great prophet. But he was before the very Son of God, bowing his head at his feet and thanking him for what he had got. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me? There's a difference when you're worship of knowing who you're worshiping. And so Naaman knew he got whole. He knew that God did it, but he never believed that the man of God is the way it happened. He knew God did it. This man knew that God did it, and he knew the Son of God was there before him.
Amen.
And he worships him. Now, well, so we see his rejoicing. Now, look at what it says in verse 16, the latter part of verse 16. And he was a Samaritan. That's very specific there. There's no reason. That wasn't accidentally thrown in just so we'd have some more filler space. Nothing in our Bibles that way. The Bible lets us know something about him. And he was a Samaritan. Now we find out here that of the ten, only one of them was that way. How do you say that, preacher? Because he calls him only a stranger later on. But this stranger. A good chance none of them very well recommitted they were Jews. Living out in Samaria, hiding out with the ones of the same, you know, misery loves company. Amen. And they're hanging out together, and the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. Now there's three things about a Samaritan that's wrong. Number one, he's in the wrong realm. He's not living in Israel, he's living in Samaria. Amen. Number two, he's in the wrong race. He's not a Jew, he's a Samaritan. He's mixed with the wrong crowd. Number three, we find out that he's of the wrong religion. The Bible says over in John chapter 4, verse 22, when Jesus is dealing with a woman of Samaria there at the well, the Bible says, he says this to her, ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And so we find this man, he is in the wrong realm, he is in the wrong race, and he is in the wrong religion, and yet he has a brand new, fresh, new, good, complete, right revelation.
Amen.
He knows exactly who he's worshiping.
Yes.
Would you agree? And so it's got nothing to do with your race. It's got nothing to do with the realm. It's got nothing to do with your false religion. When you get saved, there's a brand new birth.
Amen.
And so you're not no longer in that realm, no longer in that race, no longer in that religion. Amen. Would you say that?
Amen.
And you're a brand new man. And that brand new man knows exactly who he ought to worship. Would you say that?
Amen.
He knows exactly who he ought to worship. And so the revelation is right. Now here's the Bible. And I'm almost done. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? And he asked then, but where are the 9? You know what it tells me? God can count. God knows exactly who He's helped.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. He knows exactly what He's done. Would you agree? Now, I wonder why those other nine didn't come back. You ever thought about that? Maybe it's perhaps they were in a hurry to get to the priest. Maybe. But yet, they're going to the priest cleansed. It's just going to be a ceremony. The job's already done. Maybe it's because they're in a hurry to get home to the family. We can understand somebody loving the family, can't you? I can understand somebody loving the family. I love my family. I love my family. Let me say again. I love my family. I understand. Don't look at me and tell me I don't love my family. I love my family. But there's one greater than my family. Maybe it's perhaps they assumed that Jesus knew already how grateful they were. Oh, He knows. Sure He does. He knows what's in the heart of the man. But does that excuse us from not going back and thanking Him? Oh, Jesus knows anyway. Jesus knows anyway. Right? He knows how I feel. Well, why'd he ask it if He knew how He feel? If He knows it, why'd He ask where the nine were? Well, they was happy they was healed. You can't say they weren't happy. Come on. You know, you and I know both, they were happy they were healed. But Jesus expected them to come out and give Him thanks. Maybe it's perhaps they had some things to do, some land to check, some oxen to try out, some wives to marry, some children to raise, some jobs to interview, some parties to attend. Who knows? Not that who knows. God knows. God knows why they didn't show up to worship Him. You know why they didn't show up to worship Him? Because only 10% are thankful. Only 10% are truly thankful. Now, I said already, they had some faith, didn't they? They had faith to call. They had that faith allowed them to be considered. That faith allowed them to get up and continue. And that faith allowed them to be cured. Now, I'm going to blow your mind right here. I don't know how many times a preacher I've had somebody say this. I tell you one thing. God sure loves me. I sure am special to God because He hears my prayers. I must be, you know what? I'm so super spiritual because when I pray, God hears my prayers. Let me burst your bubble for you this morning. 10 lepers prayed, had nothing to offer God. Had nothing to offer God. And had nothing to give back to Him. And He heard their prayer and He healed every one of them. And they had nothing to give Him. The only thing He asked for was thanks. And only 10% gave Him thanks for what He did. Just because God hears your prayers does not mean you're super spiritual. It just means that God is gracious and kind and willing to hear your prayers. Just because God gives you something does not mean that you're super spiritual. It just means that He's holy and loving and is kind enough to take time out of His time to hear what our need is and answer our need. It has nothing to do with how spiritual you are. It has everything to do with how kind He is. There's nothing about them that made them spiritual. There's much about Him to make Him lovable. There's much about Him to make you want to stop and give Him thanks. There's much about Him that would say, hey, maybe I just need to turn around for a minute and tell Him thank you for all He's done for me.
Amen.
Just for a moment of time. There's much about Him that makes me want to worship Him. There's much about Him that makes me want to come back to Him. There's much of Him that makes me want to bow before Him. There's much of Him
Amen.
That makes me want to worship Him. So, oh, I'm spiritual because God hears me. No. Don't ever use that as a measurement. Paul said thrice. I think Paul's pretty spiritual. Thrice I prayed in the Lord to remove the thorn of flesh. And he said, nay.
Amen.
Well, if you're going to put that bucket together, you're going to throw old Paul out with the dogs. You're going to see old Paul was just a dog. I tell you, he's about as wicked as he can be. I mean, according to our measurement. He gave to those that had no ability to give anything or do anything, and he knew they were without hope, and they called unto him, and it moved him with compassion, and he healed every one of them. Because of his compassion. But only 10% were thankful. He says in verse 18, and there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. The Samaritan's the only one to turn around, come back. All the rest of them out doing whatever. Oh, they took the blessing, didn't they? But they didn't give any worship. But Freddie, when God gives us, it's to motivate us for worship. You say, I don't believe that. Well, hold on a second. Look on with me, verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, wait a minute. Did he not already heal him? Yeah, he's not talking about healing, Brother Ty. He's talking about wholeness. And the only way to be whole is to be saved.
Amen.
This man come and believed God and worshiped God and did it proudly and unapologetically and unashamedly. And he said, I can't find 90% of the people that I've helped. But said 10% are going to be whole. I'm going to say this. Just because God does things for you does not mean that you know Him. Many people have the faith to ask God to do something for them, but do not have the faith that turns them around to Him. You hear what I say today? There's a difference on asking faith and saving faith. So I don't believe that. Anybody remember that man that had that legion of devils in him? Did they or did they not pray to Jesus not to cast them into the pit? Come on. Did they or did they not? Yes, they did. And did he not listen to their prayer? Yes, he did. What did he do? He allowed them to go in the swine. Is that not what they requested? I want to ask you this. Anybody believe them demons went to heaven? Anybody here believe that? Just because God hears your prayer and gives you something does not mean that you have saving faith. Saving faith will turn you to Him. Saving faith will bring you to Him. Saving faith will bring you to the house of God to worship Him. Come on, you said amen a minute ago. Come on. Saving faith will draw you to Him. Saving faith will make you want to worship Him. Saving faith will make you want to be around Him. But asking faith just gets you where you want to get what you want. Now, some of y'all sitting right there now, and you're thinking, well, why would God ever give anybody anything? See, it's 10%, only 10%. Ain't you right now? Come on now, you're thinking it. Well, then why does God give people things? All right, take your Bibles. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter number 2. Oh, preacher, I asked God for something and He gave it to me. I must be all right. Really? Oh, by the way, there's sometimes when you, listen, you can be saved, you ask God for something, He says no, and you're still all right.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. Hey, I just wonder if we're spiritual enough when God says no to still have glory. You ready? Look now with me. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Why does God grant those things to folks that 90% of them are never going to come back to him and worship him? Because God is trying to be good enough. Not trying. That God is good, so good that it might, the light may come on and they realize that God has given them something special. And maybe they ought to turn to him and tell him thank you. Now, I ask you a question this morning. Are you spiritual because God hears you? Because God, I prayed a prayer and God's given me something and I'm spiritual. You base your salvation on what you have or what he did. Old fellow's rolling down there. Can't you imagine 10 of them running down the road? Get up and take off running. Man, I'm already made clean. I gotta go back and tell him something. Oh, glory to God, I'm clean. Boy, God falls down on his face and begins to worship him and thank him for what he did. You know what he did? He recognized who did it.
Yes.
There's a lot of folks come to the house of God to get things, to get some problem fixed. And when they get it all fixed, they go back out. 90% go out of the house of God unthankful for what God's done. Not caring what he did for you. You know you can tell whether or not you're thankful. You can tell it in your worship. Worship. How was he in his worship? Unashamed, unconfused. I know who I'm worshiping and not ashamed of it. I don't care who knows. Paul got it so good, he said, therefore I will glory in my infirmities. Paul said, if I don't get nothing, I'm still going to be happy.
Amen.
He said, no, and it's just him. He said, what did he say there? He said, for my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, well, if he's not going to give me what I want in my flesh, this thorn of flesh out, he's going to give me enough grace. He said, therefore, I glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me.
Amen.
If I can't have that, he's going to give me something better. I'm just going to glory right on. I'm just going to glory right on. I want to ask you this question this morning. How do you give him thanks? Our spirituality has got, what he gives us has nothing to do with how spiritual we are. Nothing. Nothing. What he gives us is based completely on his kindness. His kindness. That he might move us closer to him. Closer, closer, closer. I've seen many folks come to the house of God and hit an altar, Miss Tracy, and pray for something in their lives. And when they got what they prayed for, they got out of the will of God. And God was good to them. good to them. You listen to hear what I'm saying. They could not have had it happen unless God gave it. And when they got what they wanted, they left. Or they drew away from God. Or they got cold. And they got bitter. And they got critical. And they start looking over the top of your glasses at you when you preach. Because, you know, you're not supposed to preach on my sin. You listen to what I'm saying today. In our society, I believe today only 10% are truly thankful. You look at around our churches, you say, preacher, you can't say that. Look around your churches today. Just ask yourself, how many people you see that worship? Unashamed and unconfused. Think about it. Come on now, think about it. Unashamed, unconfused of why they're there. I don't know about you, but it convicts me. I don't want to be in the 90%. I don't want to be all I'm about is going to an altar and asking God for something. And when He gives it, going on about my business like He didn't do it. And I hope I mature at a point where I can go down to the altar and pray. Listen, I said, I hope I mature. I didn't say I was there. I said, I hope I'm mature enough where I can go down to the altar and pray. And God says, nay. But my grace is sufficient. And I can get up out of the altar and say, well, glory. And God said, no, but He's got something better for me. Only 10% are thankful. Let's all stand on pianos, come play something softly. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying it again. Just because God gives you something does not mean you're spiritual. It just means God is good. I'd hate for we're in the giving season here, aren't we? Amen. Wouldn't it be a shame Miss Rhonda wrapped me up a present beautiful? Something maybe she heard me during the year say I like her. I'd like to have. And I'd take that present and I open it up, Brother Freeman, and it is exactly what I wanted. Exactly what I wanted. Let's say I open up Christmas morning. We get up and open up my present and there it is. Man, it's exactly, it's the right color, it's the right size, it's everything I wanted. I can't believe she found a way to afford it. I know her bank account, and yet she found a way and she gave it to me. And I'd unwrap it, and I'd just walk off. You know what you men would say, and you ladies say, you a sorry low-down dog. You'd say that, wouldn't you? You'd say, you mean tell me that she stood in line somewhere, she saved up money, she cut coupons, and she listened to everything you wanted and found it and gave it to you, and you can't even say thank you? Y'all look at me and say, you're a sorry, low-down dog, and you'd be right. And we got the God of heaven that picks out special things just for us. And we act like we deserved it. Thankfulness is when you know you didn't deserve it. And He gave it to you. And you can't repay Him back. But you just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you. Lord, I don't know why you did all this, but thank you. I don't know why you passed by my way, But thank, I don't know why you took that route through Samaria, but thank you. I don't know why you picked that certain day, that certain city, but thank you. I don't know how you even heard me. I was so far off. But thank you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You need to come this morning. I want you to step out, come. I want you to step out, come and say, God, I want to thank you, not because I deserved it, because I didn't deserve it. And you picked a different route that day. And you picked a different city and a different time. And you come to where I was. And I want to tell you thank you. I want to tell you thank you. If you need to come this morning, I wouldn't let it hold me back. I'd just come on down. Lord, I just want to give you glory. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Where are the nine? Where are the 90% that God in His goodness blessed with? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I wonder how many raise your hands and say, preacher, if I die today, I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I'm saved. Amen. You put your hands down. I wonder how many raise their hand and say, preacher, I don't know I'm saved, but I'd sure like to know. Is there one to raise their hand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. No one looking around. Be honorable to those around you. No one looking around. Preacher, I don't have that, but I'd sure like to. I'd sure like to. I'd sure like to. When God grants us things, He grants it based upon our need, not our goodness. He grants it based upon His love, not our worthiness. Based upon His kindness, not our spirituality. Can you imagine? You say, well, preacher, he told him to go see the priest. I know he did. But one said, "That's we got time to see the priest. I think I'm going to go see the Lord." They're still under law when this pastor did. Law's not done away with the Calvary. Law's not done away with the Calvary. You hear what I'm saying? He came to fulfill the law. What the Bible says, He fulfilled it. He paid the price of what the law said and more. He did it, guiltless. Now, you hear what I'm saying? Come here, Elijah. Stand right here. If you're a leper, and I was one of the ten, and he told me to go see the priest, and I go see the priest, and he just went and seen the priest, and he's still a leper. He found leprosy. The old white hair still there. The marks are still there. And he walks back out. And this one here got cleansed. This got cleansed, and he starts to walk back out of the temple. And he's been pronounced clean. If on the way out of the temple, he brushes against this other leper, you know what he is now? Unclean. Unclean. By law, he is still remade unclean again. See, they're worried about getting that religion side of being clean. But he told him, thy faith hath made thee whole. He had that relationship. not religion. I said only 10% are thankful. Only 10%. You hear what I'm saying today? I've seen a lot of people base their spirituality on how many things God gives them. And they don't understand that God's given them that, that they might love Him. You said, prove that to me. Who was it in the Bible married to the harlot, wasn't it? Jose was married to a harlot. The Bible says while she was cheating on him, you know what he'd do? He'd go down there and give her food. And she thought she was getting all her food from her companions. But he was feeding her and he's clothing her. And one day he brought her back home. I don't say that her getting good things had nothing to do with her goodness. It had to do with how good her husband was. God blessing you with things has nothing to do with our worthiness. Brother Freeman, dismiss this morning.